Recently, a student asked, sometimes in Buddhism we talk about the unbounded view. What is that? The phrase unbounded view is meant to express an understanding of reality as limitless, thus the use of the phrase unbounded. And also view, in this case, is a particular kind of contemplative tool where we adopt a perspective, a view, a lens. You could even say a belief, but that's a little not right. And we walk around interacting with the world as though that was so. And we see how that impacts our thoughts and our speech and our actions. And after doing that for some time, maybe a long time, maybe in a lot of different situations, we look and see, does carrying this unbounded view, does this move me closer to the truth or further from the truth? Does it move me deeper into suffering or out of suffering? And it's important to remember that nobody's saying that a view is something you need to believe. It's a perspective or a lens that you try on and you see if you like the impacts. So let's say, for example, that I hold a bounded view in regards to my life. So a bounded view, not infinite, not limitless, might be that I think that my life began at birth and that this life ends at death. So do you wonder what might come out of holding that view? Especially if we said it was bounded in the sense of beginning at birth and ending at death, and we also added in there that it was bounded by the concepts that I and nature are separate, for example. We are discrete entities. You know, you don't have to wonder what would come out of holding that view and what impact it would have on our thoughts and our speech and our actions, because most of us have grown up in a culture that treats that view as truth. I am not nature. Nature is separate from me. And therefore, because it's not me, not us, it's a resource that we can use. And if we want to, we can devastate it. We can use it all up, which is really what we are doing. And we do that because we have the belief that we are separate and not even really dependent upon or interrelated with nature. We see that reflected in our speech, right? I am going out in nature. I am going out to enjoy nature. A tree would never say that. A tree would not say, I'm going out in nature. A tree is nature. And if we had a different view, we might think, I'm nature too. So maybe you hear this and maybe it resonates on some level and you think, okay, I'm interested in that. I do say I'm going out in nature. And I do think it might have something to do with me thinking that I'm separate from nature instead of that I'm a part of it. And so I want to experiment. So maybe a Buddhist teacher would say to you, why don't you experiment with holding an unbounded view? And maybe the unbounded view that you hold could look something like this. First of all, it's not a belief. Nobody's saying that it's true. So you don't need to adopt it as a new belief. You just need to carry it around as an experimental perspective, kind of a pair of glasses that you try on. And what this perspective looks like is driven by two Buddhist concepts. One is emptiness and one is interconnectedness. So if we wanted to say emptiness, you might say it If you're reading or studying, you might find it expressed as shunyata, which is the Sanskrit for emptiness, or tongpani, which is the Tibetan word for it. And interconnectedness, you might see a phrase dependent origination. And in Tibetan, the word would be tendril, which we've talked about quite a bit at Dekiling. So the unbounded view combines both of those, emptiness and interconnectedness. And what it says is that all phenomena, including us, lack inherent independent existence. We are not anything but connected. It's not a preference that we have or something that we decided to do or a political leaning. It's nothing like that. There just isn't, inside the unbounded view or the view of interconnectedness, there just isn't a single, completely independently existing thing at all. Everything depends on everything else. Everything, I think Thich Nhat Hanh said it, it's all subject to interbeing. Or sometimes he would say things inter are, which I really love. I think it's interesting, you know, when I listen to Thich Nhat Hanh teach or read books of his teachings now that he's passed, I see words like inter are, and I think, yeah, English is so dualistic that we have to invent words to express non-dualism. All right, if we hold this unbounded view as though it's true, then what we're being curious about is, what would the world look like if this was true? And what would the world look like in terms of my own experience? What would the shift be? I don't think that this view and this playing with views is unique to Buddhism. I think spiritual teachers in all traditions have something they say about a belief system which leads to suffering or evil or limited ways of being a being, a human being, and or a divine being. I read recently a quote in the Christian Bible, and I actually went and looked it up because I couldn't remember where it was from. It's from the book of Matthew 25:40 in the King James Version. And this is what it said: "And the king," I think Jesus here, "shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." You see what it's saying? Like, you, me, the high, the low, this is all one thing, one interacting things. Thich Nhat Hanh said, thing as they are. Thing as they are. I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh. I love that so much. All right, the unbounded view contrasts with the ordinary way of perceiving the world, which is kind of limited by some conceptual constructs. So for example, you might have in a bounded view, you have this idea that there are good human beings and not good human beings, and there are worthy human beings and not worthy human beings. You hear the dualism in that? That means if we hold that view inside these conceptual constructs as the guides for our life or the boundaries of our beliefs, then we're free to oppress people, to kill them, harm them. Why? Because they are not me. We are not interrelated. We do not need each other. So dualistic thinking, you know, this problematic thinking, this is a thinking approach which is characterized, you could say, by perceiving the world in terms of binary opposites. Not only is that a dangerous thing to do, it's just not accurate. So good and evil, right and wrong, us and them, all as separate entities. What it does is it kind of ignores and definitely doesn't appreciate all of the nuances and complexities that exist between the polar extremes. And so it's a very limited worldview where not much matters. Two things matter, this and that, good and bad. But for all of the billions of shades of gray in between, there is no caring, no seeing. And you can hear it in language, of course, at least in our culture. Sometimes people say, well, I'm sticking to this, what you're calling a bounded view, good and evil, all on that, because I experience the world like that. And I can kind of understand that, but I also have this idea that holding a bounded view, which doesn't recognize the completeness of the spectrum of everything and the way that everything is interconnected with everything else, holding a view like that is a little bit like going to the beach and picking up one grain of sand and putting it under a microscope and then declaring to yourself and to everyone else that what you see under the microscope is a beach. And while it isn't false, it's just nowhere near complete. It's not a very subtle way to live, is it? So what would an unbounded view be like if it's not like that, if it's not this deeply fragmented view? I think it would be more like perceiving life as a giant web of existence that isn't centered around individual anything, but it's more centered around relationships. So what might it be like to live inside an unbounded view? I think that's a wonderful question, you know, all between now and when we get there. Let's at least dream. Imagine perceiving every moment of your life not as a separate event, you know, today, yesterday, not like that, but all of that as a part of a vast, intricate tapestry of existence. You know, all of time going on and off in all directions, and a life that includes not only all humans, but every plant, every animal, every expression of every energy in the universe, all important, each depending on the other, and all of those continuously being born, arising, existing, and then dissolving back into the whole again. And in that model, I think life and death are just not the great beginning and end, you know, capital B, capital E, not that, but just kind of blips in the continuum, just ideas that are perpetuated by the misunderstanding and the limited thinking of human beings. And you think and you experience that all of that is always happening, everywhere, happening in a never-ending cycle. I think if you saw life in that way, you might find yourself joyful, for one thing. Really, like, what's to be afraid of in that view of the world? There's a line written by Rumi. I heard it once recited by Coleman Barks, and Rumi was talking about this never-ending existence, and he said, "Down from the sky like rain, up from the ground like roses." Isn't that beautiful? Like, nothing dies. There is nothing to die. It just changes form and continues. So maybe also, if you understood life in that way, because of the thought of interconnectedness and interdependence, you might find that you are more compassionate and empathetic. And maybe that you would have this sense that your suffering and the suffering of others are in fact related. You wouldn't think, oh, that's in another country or far away, or that person is a person without a house. I don't know them. It's not my problem. I think it would be different than that. It might also lead to more compassion, in part because we'd see our faults, and then we might recognize that everyone has some version of that, and we would see our strengths, and we would necessarily, I think, feel the same way. Everyone has some version of this, and so all of what we are would be perceived by us maybe as less of a personal trait or a personal characteristic. Less of that and more of the trait of all of life, all of existence, which is to say it's whole, and while being whole, it's broken, right? Because brokenness is a part of the cycle of coming into wholeness and leaving wholeness. I know that's pretty philosophical, isn't it? Oh, maybe one concrete thing that could come out of it is that you might see your life's purpose, not just in terms of personal achievement or personal fulfillment, but maybe you would expect yourself to contribute to the welfare and the awakening of all beings. All beings. And maybe you would think that there might be a kind of deep joy and living inside that way of thinking, that inclusiveness, that caring, that acknowledgement of the interconnectedness of truth. There's a lot written about the unbounded view. Mostly we see it in Mahayana Buddhism, particularly in schools like the Madhyamaka, the Yogacara. The unbounded view there is just central, they say, to the understanding of ultimate nature of phenomena, which of course is central to enlightenment. And the unbounded view involves learning to see through the illusions of permanence, through the illusions of solidity and separateness, until we get to this place where we can actually recognize and experience the interconnected, fluid and empty nature of existence, where everything depends on everything else. If one can realize that, it's said to bring about profound liberation from suffering. I think I can see, at least in part, why that's said. So much written about it, but I don't think that understanding all that's been written is of any more importance, or even as much importance, as actually trying that view on as a series of prolonged experiments and seeing what happens, what shifts, what's impacted in your own experience as time goes by. Do you feel more connected, more alive, more awake to beauty and mystery in your life? The Buddha in the Diamond Sutra said we could try this experiment, an illusion, a dewdrop, a bubble, a dream, a cloud, a flash of lightning. View all created things like that.